Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you wherever you are, and the Lord has given us a good day here in Cleveland, Ohio, and we thank Him for it. And the Bible says this is the day the Lord hath made, and the nations of the world are getting together and putting their resolutions against Israel and saying that Israel should give up the land God gave them. And I don't believe it's very long before they send up their armies, as we've said many times, up to Israel. And they're going to meet the Lord God Jehovah, the creator of the universe, on the mountains of Israel. And that's very soon, according to the Bible. It says, I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And then it says, the Lord himself shall go forth and fight as he fought in the days of battle. And his feet shall stand that day on the Mount of Olives, which is outside of Jerusalem to the east. Jesus left bodily and physically from the Mount of Olives, and that's where he's coming back. And it's all found in his word. But I want to read some passage in the scripture. And it's found in Hosea chapter 7, verse 13. In just a few minutes, we're going to have Pastor Alter with us. And he's done a lot of work on the people that put together the modern translations. But first, let's read this scripture. Hosea 7, 13. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I've redeemed him, yet they have spoken lies against me. Now, the Bible says here, God's redeemed these people, but they've spoken lies against him. And we have saved people today that have spoken lies. How? They recommend Bibles that are full of lies against the Lord God Jehovah. And we talk about these lies. I mean, they have Bibles that say Jesus is a liar in some of the modern versions, New ASV, and they say that Jesus' father is Joseph, another lie, and they say that make Jesus out a sinner, another lie. And recently we mentioned a book has come out called Which Bible Would Jesus Use? And it's all in there, the lies they've spoken. But these are people that Jesus, that God has redeemed, and they're speaking lies against him. You know, I'm talking to Al about this, but it's hard for me to understand some leaders in evangelical circles, what is going on in their head. Because over in the Muslim world, and I've had Muslims tell me this time after time, they educate them in Saudi Arabia, as we mentioned before, that Christians have many Bibles and we only have one. Well, that's not necessarily true, but I just tell them, well, we only have one too. It's the King James, and the rest of them are counterfeits. But how they recommend these versions, the Bible says, I beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that ye all speak the same thing. That's a command by God himself. And yet everybody has a different Bible. These Bibles contradict each other in thousands of places. I mean, it's madness and insanity. And I said, what in the world is going on? Why can't they see this? What is wrong? Well, the reason is, the first thing is the devil. The first thing he said was, yea, hath God said. And then we read in Ezekiel 28, the devil is the king of pride. And when they were sold to them to reject the King James and accept the modern versions, it was sold where pride was interjected into their heart, and it's been controlling their heart and their thinking, and that controls their head ever since then. Because this is madness, what is going on. God says, I've redeemed them, but they lied against me. Isn't that amazing? And so God has raised up this program, and I never cease to be astounded, because we know that it's being listened to even in Arab countries, and listen everywhere in the world. I mean, it goes, covers the whole continent of Africa, and we could go on, you know, but it's just, we're simply pawns. And God just uses the people he wants to use, and he raises them up. But I'm so glad today we have Pastor Alter. But before he comes, I'm going to ask Brother Davis to just give a short report here and tell about what's going on.
All right, and thank you, Bruce. Just wanted to mention, too, you can check out Bruce's website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if you go there, you can find out more information about Bruce Musselman, his background, and you can also link to some of the resources that Bruce mentions on the program. And there's some other material there, Bruce singing and teaching, preaching, and you can find past programs there. And just one thing I wanted to mention on the past programs, the date is keyed to when they air the first time, because I know some of the programs air at different times. So basically, the dates on the programs are the ones that air on 6:30 on Tuesday nights. That's how the dates go, because sometimes they're aired at different times during the week in addition to that. And so let me encourage you to go to whereisgodsword.com, and I hope to have a link on there in the not-too-distant future to Pastor James Alter, who's the pastor of the Grace Baptist Church in Sydney, Ohio, and the co-founder of the Ancient Baptist Press. And that's another story, too. And I'm sure Pastor Alter will get to that as well. But, Bruce, I'll turn it back to you and Pastor Alter.
All right. I was just talking to Gary, and we're going to be put on, I guess, I believe on Saturday morning. So if you're listening to our program, you want to continue to listen, you can listen on Saturday morning. And then we're going to do an hour special soon, and we're going to have an open line. We're going to do that with Pastor Jack McElroy on this book, Which Bible Would Jesus Use, and have an open line so you can call in. And I think that'll be an interesting thing, but that'll be coming up real soon. And so then we'll go on from here. Now I guess we'll start off, and Brother Alter, we're so glad that you're here with us today.
My honor.
You're ready to go, are you?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's good. Now, I'll just ask you, first of all, could you just shortly, we don't have too much time, just say something about how you were saved, and then you could tell us something about your work as pastor and your what you're doing with the history of the Baptists there, and then we'll talk to you some more.
Well, I was raised in New York and Connecticut. My dad was a church planter there. And I had made a profession of faith when I was probably about six. But when I was 15, I was at a teen camp, and I realized that I needed to be saved. And the other young people were giving testimonies about what God was doing in their lives. And I realized that I didn't have that in my life. So I got it settled that day. And so since I was 15, I've been trying to walk with the Lord. Then I'm the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Sydney, Ohio. We're about 30 miles north of Dayton, and I've been here for 20 years. And about 12 years ago, we started the Ancient Baptist Press. We wrote a book with my friend Dalton Robertson. He pastors in Trinity, Alabama. We wrote a book called Why Baptist? The Significance of Baptist Principles in an Ecumenical Age. And then we also started the Ancient Baptist Journal, which is a quarterly publication. It's about 200 pages each quarter, introducing people to great Baptists of the past, and we deal with current theological issues, but we also defend the King James Bible and the right division of the King James Bible. So that's what the Ancient Baptist Press is all about.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm very much interested in our history, Baptist history, and I know our churches were started by the apostles, and they got their name when Constantine at the Council of Nicaea actually took over much of the Christian churches. And the churches that didn't go in on that refused to accept their baptism. And so at that time, they were called Anabaptist. And one of the pastors some years after that, about 250, was named Novation. And it was very interesting that the great church at Antioch that sent Paul and Barnabas out backed Novation, who is also listed as an Anabaptist at that time, meaning rebaptized. They dropped the re later on, you know. But it goes back to the apostles, and it actually got the name at the time of Constantine. So I'm very interested in their history. And they kept the scriptures all the way through that time, you know, also. So that's an important thing. Now, you have... in a number of CDs, and I was listening to them, you were talking about how the modern versions were put together, something about the people that were involved in this and also the lexicons that were involved in that. And maybe you can, if you would, start talking about that.
Well, I'd be glad to, but, you know, since you mentioned Constantine, you know, you can't understand the Bible issue, and I know that you've dealt with this, without understanding the influence of Eusebius. And so Eusebius was the bishop of Caesarea, and he was Constantine's bishop, and really his flacky, his flunky. And he had studied under a man named Pamphilus for 2 years, writing an apology for Origen. And so Eusebius's understanding of the scriptures was 100% Origen. And Origen's Hexapla was the basis for the what was called his tabular chronology that he used in his history of Christianity, his ecclesiastical history. And so when the Arian controversy happened, and remember, Arius did not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, Eusebius didn't have a problem with Arius's position because he had been influenced by Origen. And Origen believed, because he had been influenced by Plato, he believed in the eternality of the soul. So the souls all existed from eternity, and the good souls became angels, and the bad souls became devils, and the neutral souls became people. That's what Origen believed about the soul. And so, which is, of course, Mormonism. There's nothing new under the sun. But Origen, because of that, he believed that God the Father, as immaterial spirit, had to be superior to God the Son, Jesus Christ, because Jesus had a body. So in dealing with this subject of truth, Origen said, Jesus Christ, compared to man, is truth, but compared to the Father, he is error. And in his commentary on the Gospel of John, where the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, he's talking about the Logos, that word Logos, which is the Word for the Word. He said that Jesus was the demiurge, a secondary cause, as opposed to the actual creator. So all the way back to the beginning of the two different lines of Bible manuscripts, you had an unbelievable attack on the deity of Christ and on the Trinity, the Godhead. And I love the fact that the Godhead appears in our Bible 3 times, the word Godhead. And so in these lexicons, many of them continued that erroneous view of the deity of Christ and of the Godhead, and that connection between Origen through Pamphilus and then Eusebius, that's the foundation for all of these corrupt manuscripts, and then it would carry on until today. As far as the lexicons, one of the most famous lexicons would be Thayer's lexicon, but in Baker's publication of it, on Roman numeral number 7, it says a word of caution is necessary. Thayer was a Unitarian, and the errors of this sect occasionally come through in the explanatory notes. The reader should be alert for both subtle and blatant denials of such doctrines as the Trinity. Thayer regarded Christ as a mere man and the Holy Spirit as an impersonal force emanating from God. The inherent and total depravity of fallen human nature, the eternal punishment of the wicked, and biblical inerrancy. So Thayer didn't believe in any of those things, and Baker, the publisher of this heretical lexicon, even warns the readers, but I wonder how many people have ever read the introduction, the publisher's introduction to a lexicon. And what happens is Bible colleges and seminaries will take a lexicon like this and hand it to a young preacher and say, here, explain your Bible through this, when they would never use a Unitarian's work in any other area of theology. And remember, Unitarians don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. And they believe in universal salvation. All of those heretical doctrines, and those are the kind of people that would influence the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. So that's the type of influence that you find. I could go on forever, but you might want to have a follow-up question.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. They followed Origen, and Origen was popular in his day, but after that, the councils came out against him, and we almost also should say that Jerome based his translation, the Vulgate, on Origen's corruptions at the same time, and he was quite enthused about Origen, although later on he turned against him. So Origen was the source, and then Eusebius of Caesarea. Almost on all sides, they say that these 50 Bibles that came out, that the modern versions are based upon, come from Eusebius, put out by Constantine. And that's
and those attacks on the deity of Christ come straight from Origen's, what he called Neoplatonism, his marrying of Greek philosophy with Christianity. You know, the Bible says, brother, that beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And in 1 Corinthians, it says that through the wisdom of God, that God by wisdom, how does it say it? That God determined that by wisdom, let me look up the passage so that I can quote it exactly. So that concept of marrying Christianity and philosophy, it's like trying to mix oil and water. They just don't go together. All right, let me read this passage to you. It says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So it says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." So what the Bible is saying here, and of course philosophy is a philosopher's a lover of wisdom, you by human wisdom, you can't know God. So how can you mix the thing that God says would keep you from him with the only way to him, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? They can't be mixed. And so these modern translations, they all change the Colossians chapter 2, where it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy." What it says is, in the modern translations, is that beware lest any man, you know, corrupt you through vain and corrupt philosophy. When there's not a Greek manuscript in the world that says that, but it undermines their way of approaching the scriptures, so they have to change the Bible.
Yeah, there's
very interesting.
Yeah, there's so many changes that have been made. It's just an attack on the deity of Christ. The other day, I heard on the radio they were quoting this one passage where it says, "So we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account unto God." And they changed that we must all stand before the judgment seat of God and give account unto God, you know. And so Christ has taken out in 100 places the names of Jesus. And the changes that have been made are incredible. And Jesus said, thy word is truth.
That's
and
right.
They're siding with the devil and saying, no, Jesus is lying, you know.
I'll tell you something interesting. You mentioned Jerome using Origen's works in his biography, in his journal. It says that he exhausted his purse to purchase Origen's works. But I have an original 1689 copy of Richard Simon's book called A Critical History of the Text of the New Testament. And he was a French Catholic priest, and they wouldn't allow him to print this book in France, so he printed it in England. So this is an actual 1689 copy. And listen to what he says. He says, "The church, from the first and most early ages of Christianity, has been constantly furnished with some learned men by whose diligent care the sacred writings have been purged from those faults which by the tract of time have insensibly crept into them. This kind of labor, which requires an exact knowledge of books, joined with a strict inquiring into the manuscripts, is termed critical." And so this Richard Simon, he is one of the fathers of textual criticism, and so that's where that concept came from. So it says it's termed critical inasmuch as it judges and determines the most authentic readings, which ought to be inserted into the text. By this means, Origen acquired his reputation, not only in Greece, but universally over the eastern part of the world, where the Bibles of his correction are by the general consent preferred to all others. Did you hear that? The Bibles of his correction. Here's the next paragraph. "Saint Jerome, who may justly be styled the Latin Origen, has done very great service to the Western churches by his critical correction of the Latin Bibles in use in those churches. Pope Damasus, very sensible of his profound learning, obliged him to review the ancient Latin version of the Gospels, which was then in a very miserable condition." Remember, the Bible was translated into Latin, the New Testament, by 157 A.D., and the churches all over the western part of the world were using that old Latin Bible, and it didn't align with what Pope Damasus was teaching, so he wanted Jerome to correct it. And listen to what Simon Says, 1689. He says this. This looked like too bold an attempt. This is to correct those old Latin Bibles. This looked like too bold an attempt and seemed above the force of any private person who could never hope to escape the hatred of a multitude of persons in the free exercising of his censure of books which had long stood in the peaceable possession of an universal reputation. Everyone in the Western world acknowledged those Latin translations of the Bible pre-Jerome to be the Bible. It took the power of the government and the force of the Roman Catholic Church to put those old Latin translations down.
You know,
it's so interesting that there are two lines of manuscripts, but there are also two lines of church history. And those, the true line of church history maintains the proper text of the Bible. The false line of church history has all of this doctrinal error and goes back to Rome. It's just an amazing thing how it all ties together.
And you know, that old Latin, which is the basis of the King James, that was probably given by God himself, because the apostles, not only God had promised that they would be taught new things and also that they would they'd have perfect recall, but also they had the gift of tongues, which simply was translating the scriptures, you know. And so it's very possible that that one of the apostles translated that. It goes right back to their time. And so God gave us the translation back then. And we also say when the King James translators came and translated, about 99, over 99% of the ancient manuscripts backed up the King James readings.
And they rejected those Vulgate readings that undermined their text. And the interesting thing about that Vulgate, you know, Jerome completed that in the 400s, but it wasn't considered the actual text of the Roman Catholic Church until the Council of Trent in the 1500s as a part of the Counter-Reformation.
I was going to ask
you something. Thing to think about.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that information. It's almost like they have said that the corrections of man is better than the preservation of the Spirit of God. But we just got a little over, just over 2 minutes left in the program. I wanted you to give your website there so people can find out some more information. I know on your website you've got a lot of materials there.
Yes, probably for audio materials, messages, those types of things, gracebaptistsydney.com. And Sydney is spelled S-I-D-N-E-Y, gracebaptistsydney.com. For information on Baptist history, you could go to ancientbaptist.com, ancientbaptist.com. And if you subscribe to the Ancient Baptist Journal, you'll get material that is just not available anywhere else.
Well, I really thank you for being on here with us, and it's too bad. It seems like it just passed way too fast. I think we're going to be on soon, an hour or so. We'll have more time to talk, and we'll get you back on. And it's been a blessing to have you, and I'm glad you're taking a stand for that we have the Word of God. You know, Jesus said, I give unto them the word of my words, you know, which thou hast given me. And Jesus promised to give us the words, and so we can thank God we have it today in the
Amen.
King James Bible. And we thank God he's raising up people like you that take a stand for it today. And there's people all over the world now that understand what is the issues. And I thank God, too, where the Bible came out of England, I notice that our program is constantly being listened to. It's increasing all the time. The group is getting better. They call it the Authorized Bible over there in England that are listening. So we're glad to have you with us, Pastor Alder, and I hope we can get you back again soon.
I'd love to.
Okay, well, God bless you, and all you out there, have a wonderful day, and we're getting ready for the time when Jesus is coming back, and he has all power in heaven and earth, and he has power to save you. Jesus died for our sins, was punished for every sin, and then rose from the dead, and the Bible says we repent. Jesus said repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name, and we have eternal life through him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, God bless you all and have a wonderful day in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.